You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 29th, 2021. For everyone who thinks it's a good idea to defund police and that police shouldn't really have to show up in things unless there's a need to bring their gun, they should leave them in the car. Take note of what happened in North Carolina. Police had a call about a disturbance at a house. I've told you repeatedly, domestic disturbances are always frightful for police. And it was a disturbance, really. It was just saying, we need a welfare check on that house because somebody has not been responding to calls. They should be there. So it was more like a welfare check at that point. Now, that is a case where by the progressives, you would just send a couple of social workers to go see everybody inside. Okay, you got food. What do you need? Well, two North Carolina sheriff's deputies were dispatched to the area just to check on the occupants of the house. It was an ambush. Two of them killed as they arrived. Three others found dead. It was a 13-hour standoff between the shooter and law enforcement. It finally ended with a gunman also dead. All this taking place about 116 miles northwest of Charlotte, North Carolina. Now imagine if you're sending social workers to just do a welfare check because you're not going to need guns. That should serve as a reminder moving forward, but I know for some, they still think, oh, we could have done it. Yeah. President Biden in his address last night made it very clear about that January 6th Capitol riot while he's there to push his propaganda about we need to spend more and more money on the COVID plan that has 6 to 8% for COVID money. Everything else is just fat, pork, whatever else you want to call it. But he made a point to say here what took place in this Capitol on January 6th. He said it was the greatest threat to our nation, democracy, since the Civil War. Well, I detailed several other options and other issues in the last hour. You can name some of them yourself right away. Pearl Harbor, 9/11, a bombing of the U.S. Senate in 83, a shooting inside the House of Congress in the 50s. Anyway, CNN viewers, apparently, the left-wing viewers watching Biden's speech, they're giving him a very poor rating, a lower rating than they gave President Donald Trump after his first speech. 51% of the largely Democrat speech watchers approved of Biden's comments. 51%. But the state-controlled media rushing forward and saying it was pretty good. On speaking about his remarks about that attack on the Capitol, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi saying, I will never forgive President Donald Trump for what happened January 6th. As if he were directly involved or involved whatsoever. Same thing from Congressman Adam Schiff, Democrat of California. Saying we cannot ignore the so-called predominant domestic threat was a white national threat, and some of those folks are part of the Trump base. And when he says some, he really means everybody. By the way, that address last night, the chamber in the House can hold up to 1,000. That's why they normally hold joint sessions of Congress in the House. But Nancy Pelosi imposed only 200 couldn't be allowed in. 200. And some say it's just as well because it was very boring, or as Senator Ted Cruz said, and being caught almost drifting off to sleep, boring but radical. Congresswoman Liz Cheney is making it very clear she's standing behind the vote she cast to impeach former President Trump and said, I'm going to stand behind it every day of the week. She's facing numerous challenges in her 2022 re-election effort in Wyoming. She is going to have to fight them off. millions of Mark Zuckerberg money being dumped into Florida. They're going to help everyone and anyone going against Governor Ron DeSantis. Oh, and this word coming up. Federal agencies investigating a couple incidents on U.S. soil, one near the White House, similar to mysterious invisible attacks that caused problems for dozens of U.S. personnel abroad, especially in Cuba. Some kind of electronic pulse being sent through that's causing issues. They're going to be taking a closer look. But right now, they say it was real. We just need to find how, why, and who was behind it.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
If you think disinfecting a home or office for COVID is way too expensive, I've got great news for you. Wellington Environmental can disinfect most homes for less than $300. I know you were thinking the cost would be two, three, maybe four times as much. Wellington can professionally disinfect most homes for less than $300. Cost for most offices, not much higher. You get the same professional treatment that Wellington provides hospitals and nursing homes. Also, Wellington is selling professional fogging devices. The cost, $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors and save $100. Here's a phone number to schedule Wellington to treat your home or office. 314-644-4930. I urge you to get on the schedule early. 314-644-4930. 644-4930. Be well with Wellington. Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing, covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
Those things a young man should know. Down on my knees and begging I plead to learn a little bit more. All that woman told me to pray. I saw it
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Hear me clearly. America is not a racist country. It's backwards to fight discrimination with different types of discrimination. And it's wrong to try to use our painful past to dishonestly shut down debates in the present.
Those are the words of South Carolina Senator Tim Scott, Republican, black man. He was giving the Republican response to President Joe Biden's first speech to the joint session of Congress last night. And during that speech, President Biden made the remarks that many of us have heard over and over again, saying basically this is a nation that is systemically racist. And in fact, Biden tried to say, what I've been able to do since I became president, I've infused the concept of racial equity into several components of the agenda. Now, of course, President Biden's vice president is Kamala Harris, who is black or people of color. What term do you want to use? I mean, I kind of had a little fun piece the other day with James Carville, who was the guiding force behind Bill Clinton being elected. And he said, I don't know why the Democrats keep talking about people of color. He said, I don't know. What do they mean, people of color? I know black people, brown people, yellow people, red and white people. I don't know what they mean by people of color. So whatever term that makes you feel better, you use that term. And I'm not trying to demean her. I'm just saying that obviously Biden is white and she's black in some fashion. So here's a question that you think would be a real nice softball for her to hit. She's on with MSNBC. Let me double check that, because I thought I saw that George Stephanopoulos was. It might have been Kent, let me see. Hang on a second. I want to make sure I get it right for you. I don't like giving things kind of halfway out. And this was a piece lifted from one of the networks that then appeared on Fox. So I'm not sure the original question. But the question is asked of her. Based on what you folks just then heard Tim Scott say, America is not racist. Now listen to the question. And some of you might be surprised. Many of you might be surprised by her answer.
No, I don't think America is a racist country, but we also do have to speak truth about the history of racism in our country and its existence today. One of the greatest threats to our national security is domestic terrorism manifested by white supremacists.
Until she said the greatest threat to our country today is manifested by white supremacists, she had me. Because, yes, we still have to deal with it in our country, and we shouldn't. I mean, my God, I thought we would have been done with this decades ago. And Tim Scott's point, again, a black American who said, my road to success, I went from cotton to Congress in one lifetime, basically. I said, yes, we had that past, but if you continue to put that up all the time, still the same, it's not true. Again, Senator Scott.
When America comes together, we've made tremendous progress. But powerful forces want to pull us apart. 100 years ago, kids in classrooms were taught the color of their skin was their most important characteristic. And if they looked a certain way, they were inferior. Today, kids are being taught that the color of their skin defines them again. And if they look a certain way, they're an oppressor. From colleges to corporations to our culture, people are making money and gaining power by pretending we haven't made any progress at all. By doubling down on the divisions, we've worked so hard to heal.
You know, one point he made there that really stands out as well as much of it. 100 years ago, kids in classrooms, he said, were taught the color of their skin was their most important characteristic. And if they looked a certain way, they were inferior. He kind of pointed at himself when he said that. Well, Martin Luther King preached constantly, do not let the color of your skin define you, and no one should be judged simply by the color of their skin. But then he also said, we have a lot of colleges, corporations, and cultural entities profiting by doubling down on a lot of this. And in fact, now, if you are white, you are inferior, or you're an oppressor, or you are basically to blame for everything wrong in this country that had anything to do with racism. Two things from both Scott and Harris are worth repeating and restating. Both of them pointing out what things were. She acknowledged that. And she said we shouldn't forget it. I acknowledge that fully. We should not forget that. It's a terrible part of our history. And we should not forget it. Senator Scott says the same thing. But he's trying to say, you can't continually put that in front of what we're trying to accomplish right now. So the question again, direct to Vice President Harris, is the United States racist?
No, I don't think America is a racist country, but we also do have to speak truth about the history of racism in our country and its existence today. One of the greatest threats to our national security is domestic terrorism manifested by white supremacists.
Up to that point again. I mean, Quentin, I'm going to ask you to, we're going to open that up and do it one more time. I'm going to give you a cue to stop because what she is saying in the beginning, I hope you take to heart. First of all, she says, we're not a racist country, but we still have to deal with things, and it still exists. Once again, Vice President Harris, is the country racist?
No, I don't think America is a racist country, but we also do have to speak truth about the history of racism in our...
Okay, we have to speak the truth about the history. Absolutely. Absolutely we should. But as far as I'm concerned, that's why many of those Confederate statues and the other thing should have stayed. They're an evidence, a piece of evidence of what it was, a reminder. You have to stop and think for a moment. Look around you. How many do you see around you that were alive when Pearl Harbor happened? I wasn't. Many of you probably weren't. But how many of you heard about the Pearl Harbor and, of course, then what came from it? Yeah, probably more of that. And at that time, you remember what we did to the Japanese that were in this country? Took their possessions, rounded them up, put them into camps, and they'd done nothing wrong, but they were Japanese descent. And I would imagine that many Koreans and other Asian-looking were all gathered up and put in the same thing anyway, and they were not Japanese. I remember specifically in West Texas one time, I'm talking about probably this would have been in the 60s, late 60s. There's a car dealer in town, and I'm working at a radio station, and I'm trying to get in to do some advertising. And I said, just want to get some stuff running because you've got a dealer coming into town. It's going to open up across the street. He said, yeah, I saw that. He said, it's that these Japanese cars. Nobody's going to buy Japanese cars. They're not going to buy cars by Japs. That was his wording. Well, not only was it a Japanese maker at that time, many of them now made in this country. And the same thing when Volkswagen came out. We fought the Nazis. We're not going to buy German products. The history is there, but what can you learn from it? How much farther can you go? And, of course, part of the issue that's at stake now for many is that we're trying, judging by their remarks and their storylines, whites are Republicans, conservatives, independents, are trying to make sure that we can either control the, quote, minority population or keep a thumb on them by changing election laws. And that's why you have Biden and the rest of them rushing forward saying, Jim Crow laws again, as they point to Georgia. The Georgia law is not anything like Jim Crow laws were. If they knew the history, they would know. And in fact, that's the scary part. They know the history. They're hoping you don't know the history of Jim Crow laws. Jim Crow laws, basically, and depending on where you were, one, if you're going to vote, you can't be other than white. You got to be white first. And then to put additional restrictions in place, you had to be able to read. And obviously, a lot of black Americans could not read. And there were many white Americans who could not read, but they got to vote. They could put an X down. And then you had to be a landowner. Well, many of them sharecroppers. They're working the land, but they didn't really own it. They didn't get to vote. Same thing with a lot of whites, but they got to vote. You have to be able to pay a poll tax. Now, that poll tax, the fee that was charged in, whatever it was enormous for many people at that time, especially the black community. And that's why you hear all the time, the voter ID, that you can't, you're going to force us, we've got to spend money on the voter ID. The Georgia state law said, we will provide you a free voter ID. You don't have to pay anything. So what's the argument then? There is no argument. No one's trying to prevent anyone from voting. I will stand with you if someone's actually trying to prevent you from voting and pass laws that based on your color, your skin, your religion, or even your sexual preference, that you're not allowed to vote. That is not the foundation of this country. The foundation of this country is staying where we're at a time we did. But as Senator Scott said, can we not move past that? Remember it, as Vice President Harris said, and Scott says as well. And Senator Tim Scott specifically also addressed the voting laws and what's the purpose of making them stronger and better. Senator Tim Scott.
I'm an African American who has voted in the South my entire life. I take voting rights personally. Republicans support making it easier to vote and harder to cheat. And so do the voters. Big majorities of Americans support early voting, and big majorities support voter ID, including African Americans and Hispanics. Common sense makes common ground.
CNN commentator Van Jones, a strong Biden-Harris backer, is saying that because Scott is declaring that the U.S. is not racist, according to him, that Tim Scott just lost, quote, tens of millions of black voters. He adds it's very clear this country is still struggling with racism. I agree with that. Yeah, I'm not going to argue it. But it's not like it was. It shouldn't happen at all. It should move faster. But then CNN commentator Van Jones added, we still have racism showing up in almost every institution. Many places that's true. And where you see it, you should call it out. And by the same token, we have gender discrimination. And we have religious discrimination. Shouldn't have any of it. But then if you happen to be of color and you don't believe the Democrat line, the discrimination, the attacks will be on you. And that kind of discrimination also should not be excused. Coming up.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
I'll just say that the response to my speech last night from the left was for me to mention that intolerance so often comes from the left, with words like Uncle Tim and the N-word being used against me by the left. And last night, what was trending in social media was Uncle Tim. And they doubled down on this concept of liberal oppression. It is stunning in 2021 that those who speak about ending discrimination want to end it by more discrimination.
That is a fact, and it's a shame. And, of course, many believe that, well, if I'm of color, I can't be racist. You have to be racist. Well, anyone can be racist. It's a very simple formula, friend. If you think the color of your skin makes you superior to someone who has a different shade of skin, you're an idiot, first of all, and yes, that is racism. I don't care what color you are. And I will also call to your attention, and at some point, that's going to flash back on them. Every time you hear the Democrats start talking about people of color, the list brown, the list black, black, brown, and they're not mentioning Asian a lot, and yet when anything goes wrong that maybe, like a massage parlor shooting in Georgia, must be Asian hate, then they start getting concerned. But you don't see them defending that much for the Asians. And there is animosity between each of those color groups as well toward the other. But what happened last night, as Senator Tim Scott was in saying, those who want to call themselves to be progressives, he said, they call me Uncle Tom in the N-word. But on Twitter, of course, then they decided, let's call him Uncle Tim. We knew what they were saying, and it became a trending topic. It is a racial slur. They know what they were doing with it, but they say Uncle Tim because they think they can get by. Twitter allowed it. Twitter allowed it to stay and stay and stay. Did nothing to block it. Did nothing to shut it down. I mean, it was only early this morning that they finally got around to addressing it and saying, we are blocking that phrase from appearing in trends. But they let it run all night long before they finally did it. Again, remarks from Senator Tim Scott.
What they want for us is for us to stay in a little small corner and not go against the tide that they think is America. Their America and my America aren't the same America if, in fact, they think that discriminating is the fastest way to end discrimination. We have learned lessons from our past, and we should. Racism and discrimination, it's still real, but it is being pushed further and further into a smaller corner in our nation. That's great news that we should celebrate the progress being made by black folks and white folks working together, by Hispanics and Asians coming together. If you want to be an American, the door is wide open. The front door, by the way, is wide open to come in and add value to who we are, not be a part of destructive conversations that belittle individuals.
Which the Twitter feed and the trending did. They left it up all through the night, finally got around to it this morning, and started trying to explain that, well, the algorithm didn't recognize, what, because it said Uncle Tim? I've got Tristan Justice, a contributor to The Federalist, coming up. We're going to examine that in more detail, what Twitter was doing, Reverend said, and also Joe Biden calling what happened on January 6th in our Capitol the worst assault on our democracy since the Civil War. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around another 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed and at the same time will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website. Rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, Rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Well, I want to pick up with where we left off a moment ago on our topics for the first 2 segments. This is Tristan Justice, a contributor to The Federalist. Glad to have you on board, Tristan.
Well, thank you for having me.
Well, there were a couple of pieces you've done, and you do a lot of pieces for The Federalist, but this one in particular, you were responding to President Biden's remarks last night that the January 6th Capitol riot was the worst assault on our democracy since the Civil War, obviously forgetting or ignoring things like Pearl Harbor, 9/11, but even more than that. I want to come back to that a little bit later. But before then, in the previous segment before you joined us, we were listening to Senator Tim Scott saying again, the nation is not racist. We still have ways to go, but it's not racist. And how he's always attacked, as are any black Republicans. And in particular for him last night, that started trending on Twitter, Uncle Tim. And Twitter did nothing about it all through the night. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, no, I mean, it's just disgraceful, the amount of racism that you see on the left. And it's always ironic to hear from people who have really militarized the so-called anti-racism, but have no restraint to engage in the type of racist attacks that they do when it's someone who dissents from this narrative that every black person and minority is systemically oppressed by every and all institution in the country.
And we know what the Uncle Tim was referenced to. They were calling him Uncle Tom, but decided, let's just put his name on it and Twitter let it stand. They knew exactly what was going on.
Absolutely. And the double standards here are just amazing. And it really just peels back the curtain behind Twitter as a publisher rather than merely a platform, because oftentimes Twitter will take down trending topics and hashtags that it declares violent against political allies. But when it's racist attacks against Republicans like Tim Scott, it'll be amplified in the platform for hours on end. And so we saw, you know, Tim Scott even talked about in his speech last night how he gets called the N-word and Uncle Tom by progressives. And we saw that play out where the left proved his point last night when they started calling him Uncle Tim, so much that they even trended on one of the nation's largest online platforms for political speech.
Well, they finally got around to blocking it. But before that, they were defending. I'm not just saying they were saying, well, we'll take a look. They were defending it. They were saying, this is in line with our policies on trends. We want to promote healthy conversations on Twitter. That's what they came up with when they decided to block the phrase, and it said that means at times we may not allow or may temporarily prevent content from appearing in trends until more context is available. You don't need any context on that. You know what was intended.
Well, it really speaks for itself. There's not really much context that's needed when it comes to speech like that. And you know, again, the double standards here. Twitter will make up any excuse it can to justify rampant censorship of conservatives and conservative speech, but will do everything it can to protect allowing attacks on conservatives happen on the platform widespread. So the double standards really expose Twitter as an ideological publisher rather than a neutral platform.
And to that extent, Senator Josh Hawley of Missouri, along with Senator Ted Cruz, are trying to come up with some new rules and regs because of these big tech firms like Twitter, Google, Facebook. They have immunity because they say, well, you know, we need it because we shouldn't be held accountable for something that appears it gets sent in. On one hand, I agree with that. I mean, if you have a radio station and you have the phone lines open and someone is calling in, well, you better be ready to dump it if they say something wrong. But if you're a publisher and it just appears and you don't have a chance to stop it till later it's seen, I don't care what kind of algorithms you put up, there's always a way to get around it. That's how folks can always steal passwords anyway. But the bottom line is they need to be better controlled. And every time we step out of line, they are quick to drop the hammer on us.
You're absolutely right. And look, I think Americans are being deceived by what is derived dystopia, because it's not necessarily coming from government as always imagined. It's actually coming from private entities and private enterprise.
Right. And they say, well, that's not censorship. It's not from government. Censorship is censorship, period.
You're absolutely right, which is why we need stricter regulations on these big tech firms. You know, a lot of conservatives will say, well, the private enterprises and they can do what they want. Well, okay, but they've successfully circumvented Republican governance and compromised the free enterprise system. And it is not conservative to allow giant corporate oligarchs take over the free enterprise system. It is conservative to protect the free marketplace of ideas, and that is why we need government regulation. And this is where libertarianism, in my view, fails, because what good is the absence of government regulation when corporate entities come in and regulate it themselves? And so Americans are being deceived by the rise of dystopia, because this rise of dystopia is coming from private enterprise and not government, as has always been fantasized in science fiction.
You're listening to Tristan Justice, contributor to The Federalist. To that point, this program, and of course, it's, you know, on one hand, you could call it a badge of courage, glad to earn it, but I mean, so many are in the same box. It's not that unusual. I had done an interview with Sidney Powell some time ago, and we were not putting anything up on YouTube at that time. We were doing it on the program and so forth, and a lot of folks think she's a conspiracy theorist, whatever. Well, I had her on, let her make her mind, and a lot of people liked it. In fact, I think that one interview got shared, what, 260,000 times or better, I think. But then we get, when we had it on YouTube, and I told her we were doing it, we just launched it, she said, you may have it up 15 minutes before they yank it down. Well, actually, they weren't paying close enough attention to us, because I think it stayed up, Quentin, what, a month or better, or longer, weeks, several weeks. And then we got the notice, oh, no. Any talk about a conspiracy that the election was fraudulent is not acceptable, and it violates our standards. My answer to them was, she said it. I'm letting her make her remarks like I do every guest. I actually believe it, but I'm not pushing it. It's her remarks. It's called First Amendment. Like whatever you say here, if maybe I don't like it, but it's a First Amendment right, and I've invited you on. Go ahead.
You're right in that when you get into issues of censorship, there is never a fair way to implement censorship. It is always going to be subjective. And the way you cancel out bad speech that, is with more speech. And why I say bad, excuse me, when you say speech that one disagrees with, is always with more speech. And so when you get into issues of censorship, there's always going to be double standards that arise. You know, this time it was election results. Well, what about the last 4 years? We had this endless narrative that Donald Trump was a Kremlin agent working to undermine American interests from the White House. This
right.
crazy conspiracy theory that emanated from the FBI, took root in a complicit media, and was exploited by the Democratic Party, and ended up taking deep roots among the American public, millions of whom probably still genuinely believe Donald Trump is compromised
and based,
by Russia.
And based on a lie. The other thing, when Biden last night said that riot was the worst attack on our democracy since the Civil War, you quickly penned a piece for the Federalist, and you pointed out, did they forget the 1983 Senate bombing?
Absolutely, the 1983 Senate bombing by left-wing terrorists who were actually given clemency but under President Bill Clinton,
right.
lobbied for by New York Congressman Jerry Nadler. So there's just irony abound, and it's clear that last night's speech was just complete gaslighting, had no basis in truth, and completely ignored, by the way, the attacks of Pearl Harbor, which killed more than 2,400 people, and the attacks on 9/11, which killed nearly 3,000.
And of course, also, Biden makes that as part of his speech last night, that I'm going to be a president for all of us. We're all Americans. Just because they're a political opponent, they're not an enemy. We're all Americans. But some of you, if you voted for Trump and you didn't, you probably fit into that white supremacist that we have to say is the biggest threat for our nation now.
You cannot unify a country when you continue to vilify half of it as white supremacist. You know, it was the same thing that Joe Biden did in his inauguration speech. He gave this big speech about unity. He said he wanted to unify the country. And then in the next line, he said, he called half the country white supremacist. And so I think if Joe Biden really wanted to unify the country, he would back away from critical race theory and from all the divisive revolutionary ideas coming from the progressive left and see true unity with Republicans moving forward. But I'm not seeing it happen anytime soon.
No, and I don't really expect it. And in the last hour and before you joined us today, I was also talking about the 83 U.S. Senate bombing, which that was, as you said, that was a left-wing group. And the bomb was set to mainly hit Republicans as they were coming out of the Senate area. And then we also had a 1954 U.S. Capitol shooting with four Puerto Rican nationalists who wanted Puerto Rico's independence opening fire in the chambers. And then, of course, the shooter who went to the ball field said, are those all Republicans out there practicing? Yeah. And opened fire on them. So, I mean, it's not just one side. We should be against all of it. And in the last 20 seconds, where are we going to go from here with all this name-calling and accusations back and forth?
Well, that remains to be seen, but I think Americans can anticipate the rest of the 4 years to be like the first 100 days, and I think that's why the stakes in the midterms are so important, and we'll see what happens.
That will be big. Tristan, thank you very much for your time, sir.
Thank you for having me. Always a pleasure.
You bet. We'll do it again. Tristan Justice, contributor to The Federalist. Coming up, guess who's got a new job? Hunter Biden. This might be just perfect for him. I mean, more I think about it, maybe this is the job for Hunter Biden. Stand by, please.
You can hear podcasts of this program at Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook.
Shoot your eye down. Check you
this
is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Something to think about when we do see Joe Biden come down this aisle. Again, 36-year veteran of the Senate. But so far, because of the pandemic, and he's never used terms of victimization, he has been robbed of so much of the majesty and pomp of the job. Campaign stops, convention speech. After he won, giving his acceptance in a parking lot in Wilmington, an inaugural address before an empty mall in Washington, D.C.
Oh, my God. That is Brian Williams going on and on about that Biden doesn't call himself a victim, but he's been robbed. He's been robbed. He's had to not been able to really relate to the people and be with them. And like going into the House last night for a joint session of Congress, I know you've seen enough of those, if it's a state of the state or whatever the president's calling it, and they bring both members of both houses together. They can seat 1,000 inside the House of Congress, the Senate smaller, and that's why they always hold it in there. And, of course, Nancy rules the House at this point. She decides how many can come in. And because of COVID, she said 200. The administration wants something like 1,600 in there. I don't know if they came up with 1,600. I know it hold 1,000. I guess they're probably holding more than that. But either way, she said 200. And, of course, she made it clear that if more senators would get vaccinations, we could probably do it. 75% of congressmen supposedly have had both shots. The other 25% may have had one or may not have any and may not plan on getting any. But she's trying to say we couldn't do it because of that, and we're just going to limit it. So, yeah, Biden has to walk in, and where you normally get a raucous rally and applause, even from the opposing party, being decent and polite, the civil thing to do, almost like British rules for boxing or something of that nature. They're going to be extremely polite and civil until you start hitting them in the face. But, as you heard Brian Williams say, my God, he got robbed. He was in a sparse chamber. There were not a lot of people there to help him out. And in the campaign stops, he didn't have anybody because nobody wanted to hear from the man. It was not COVID then. They could have put hundreds of cars in some of those parking lots where he was doing that, but are you kidding? I don't want to go sit and watch that. All right. But again, I want you to oh, by the way, White House Press Secretary Jen Psaki said cabinet members were going to be watching from their offices or at home. Right. I wonder how many of them really did. I just wonder. So, President Joe Biden's son, Hunter. You know, he got, of course, the big energy company and Burisma in Ukraine because he knows all about energy, not. He got it and even admitted, yeah, anybody that didn't have Biden as last name, they probably wouldn't have got the job like I did. So he admitted, flat out admitted it. So what is he qualified to do? He's got a new job. This is going to blow your mind. And at the same time, you're thinking, that just seems about right. Don't forget, we still have that laptop that shows millions of dollars from a Chinese oil magnate going to him who has ties to the Communist Party and a former Russian oligarch, and plus some other compromising pictures of him on that. He has a job teaching. It's a speaking gig, they're calling it, but it's going to be a 10-week course at Tulane University. The title for his lecture, Media Polarization and Public Policy Impacts on, stand back, we don't know how big this is going to get. Be careful. If you're driving, do not lose control. Please, hold on to that wheel tightly. media polarization and public policy impacts on fake news. Oh, my God. It's going to focus on the current state of the media landscape in the nation and how media polarization, fake news, and the economics of the new business impact public policy making in Washington, D.C. all come together. And Biden, Hunter Biden, at 51 years of age, is an expert. They're going to have others also taking part in it from time to time. Juan Williams from the Five co-host, Margaret Brennan of CBS Face the Nation. Oh, and Dr. Deborah Birx will be brought in. Washington Post columnist, New York columnist, CNN correspondent, obviously. Everything on that list I just read to you put down is on the left. And they're going to tell the students about fake news. Huh. You think a student will be able to raise a hand and ask a question? Mr. Biden, I have a question. Yes, son, what would you like to know? Why did you do that stuff on your laptop? And why did you leave it there? I think I heard the bell ring. Class is over. Thanks for listening. Remember our pledge. One nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.